going.
Okay, Sunday morning, 2:09:25. We're going to do two prophets' corners. The first one is the office of the apostle. This morning, if you watched the broadcast, I just talk straight with people about just doing stuff is liable to get your, you know, you in a shape like the seven sons of Sceva. This isn't just something that you do lightly. You better have a plan from God. And I even brought up my jurisdiction was the 17 counties of the Permian Basin, so I guess I've been seeding all along for the letter I'm going to put on the website. It's called The Letter to the Churches. It's to the 17 counties of the Permian Basin. So I'm gonna write it, and I'm going to have Sean post it on the website. So only those that are interested. I'll probably have some curiosity seekers, but it's just for those that are serious. Anyway, the apostle is an ambassador of the gospel equipped by the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did. Let's look at Hebrews 3:1 first. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So he's our example. When Jesus went back to the Father, his 11 apostles took the Great Commission. I remember Brother Oral Roberts in his vision, it's either 2004-2005. What was it called? I'm trying to think of the name of it. But the main thing the Lord was upset about was the fact that there were only 5 ministries in the entire world that were obeying the Lord concerning the Great Commission. That's pretty sick. The wake-up call. I think what he saw was COVID. In the vision, he saw something coming towards the U.S. that was going to be catastrophic. And then it's kind of stopped before it's full impact, and I think that was COVID. I really do. All right. The commission has not gone forth because the ambassadors of that commission have been very far and few between. The office of the apostle has been dormant, so much so that the church world doesn't even know what an apostle is. You know, they build churches, right? Well, yeah, but not what you think. We're not talking about brick and mortar. When the Lord first brought this up to me several years ago, I did not have a clue what an apostle was either. All I'd ever heard was what Brother Hagin said and Jesus visiting him in the hospital. As we return to apostolic Christianity, the gospel is going to begin to bust out everywhere. As they rise to their places with their individual jurisdictions, things are going to begin to change. It will change the entire landscape. It did with the apostles, the 12 or 11. It is amazing how things change when the church is in divine order. Let's look at Acts 17:6 for a minute. I don't know why I put that there. Maybe it's 16. Hold on. I don't know. Well, I'll just read 16 because it seems like it fits better. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I put down 17:6, but I don't know if that was right. No, I think it was 3. Let's go to 3. Acts 3. I know the scripture. Well, maybe it's not there either. The scripture I'm looking for is the one where it says they were They threw him in jail because they had turned the world, it said, upside down.
That was 17:6. You were at the right one.
Okay. Okay, I was reading something else. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." So this band of apostles started turning the world upside down everywhere they went. Fact is upside down, not upside down, but right side up. They were turning the world right side up because it was upside down. Because Satan did what he did. And let us just be clear on this. Satan has already been judged. That's what the scripture says. The God of this world and what he did is already judged. So what was this, why we have to wait so long? Because Satan, or man, had a 6-day week. 6 days. 6,000 years, he gave his dominion away. So for 6 days, we had to put up with what we put up with as the human race. But he's already been judged. Jesus judged him at the cross. He stripped him. So when we talk about how big, bad, and ugly he is, the only reason he's doing anything that he's doing is because he knows he has a short time. That's it. He knows he's been judged. He knows where he's headed. But because he tricked man out of his lease, you could say a squatter. You know, we had all this problem in our nation with squatters moving in on people by gunpoint, running them out of their homes and living on their property, or having a vacant building and show up one day to get something out of your building and it's got squatters in it. That's what Satan's done. So the fact is, it's not upside down. It's really right side up when the apostles came on the scene. They started turning it right side up, what Satan had turned upside down. The apostles are equipped with signs and wonders to confirm God's way of doing things. This is how you're going to know what is of God and what is not. Whatever God is in, there are signs and wonders. If someone says they're an apostle, and you see nothing working in their ministry, I would question it. Now, there's been many things throughout my Christian walk, probably the last 20 or 30 years, where I've prayed for people and I've seen instant manifestation early from it. And I didn't realize at that time because I didn't know anything about an apostle and what an apostle does, but I have had that working in my life for a long time. One lady one time, she asked me to pray for her. She'd been to the doctor and she'd had a mammogram and x-rays, and they found a lump in her breast or something, and she asked me to pray. So I put my hand in the right place and prayed for her, but then I moved my hand down and put it on her abdomen and I prayed for her. Later she came back and said everything disappeared, and she said, "What I didn't tell you was they found something in my abdomen too, but it's gone too." Another lady come in and said there was someone that they knew that was a widow, and she was going through a hard time and she's about to have open heart surgery. So I just happened to be the one stuck praying that day. And so I prayed, and I prayed, "Lord, heal this widow's broken heart." She got into surgery. Her heart exploded. She lay brain dead or whatever. Maybe she had some brain activity. I forget how many days. And then one day she just sat up. 30 minutes before they took the plug out of the machine, she sat up and she had a new heart. That's the apostles' operation right there, not even knowing. And there, I could tell you many others. But I'm just saying, if someone says an apostle, you're going to see signs and wonders working in their ministry. All right. This is how you're going to know them, by their fruit. Okay, Acts 2. Those things are just as miraculous as somebody being raised from the dead or anything else. Okay. It's by a spirit. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. See, the Lord's even mentioned that in some of these visitations about people will see the right thing and they'll recognize it and they'll come running because they haven't ever seen the real thing before. That's what'll convince them. This is of God. That's how he confirms it's by signs and wonders. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And I'm not going to read all of that. Right here, we see it here. This is Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. Now certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered, went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and knew it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Later it says over here, it says that they the elders had recognized, there's a place that says that, maybe it's in this passage, that even those leaders recognized they had been with Jesus. Oh, right here. This is 13 of 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What were they doing? The works of Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our faith. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. You talk about something that's going to bring you together. Okay, go over to 8, Acts 8. One of these visitations talked about how the organized religious world is going to have a mental breakdown. Basically, when they see the real deal show up. Okay. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about all over this United States. The Lord says he's doing it all at the same time. There's teams all over this United States that have been going through, walking through what we have walked through, and their teams. And when God opens this door, it's going to bust through, and it's going to happen all over the nation. And then it'll spread to the rest of the world. Isn't that basically what he said? All right, 8. Start with verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Well, he's a sorcerer. That's pharmakia. And go look it up. That's what sorcery was. "This man is the great power of God," they say. "And to him They had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. For sorceries is witchcraft. Witchcraft is pharmakia in the Greek. Potion. Pharmacy. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them only. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. See, that was how he operated. You give me money, I show you funny. Yeah? Saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Isn't that the biggest problem in the church, the merchandising of the anointing? It's all about buying my books and buying my tapes and coming to my seminars and doing this and that and so. Where's the power? Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. See, it's going to expose organized religion for what it is and its players, just like Simon. The ones that are not in divine order will be shown to be who they are, right out in the open for everybody to see. So you'll know. You'll know what's of the real, the power of God, and what is not. What's false, what's fake. Acts 14. Verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You know, that was probably the biggest beef the Pharisees had with Jesus. He went about doing the works of an apostle, and it made them mad because they didn't have power to do anything. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Starting with 14 there. Let's see. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about, I don't know what that word is, and I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I wrote it. Eli Yakum, I think is how you say it. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another's foundation. So Paul's talking here about what God had given him as an apostle, but that he would not go past his jurisdiction. He said, here, I'm not going to build on another man's foundation. That's another apostle. So they have their individual jurisdictions. 2 Corinthians 12:2. No, 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. This is how you will know where God's team is, who's God's team and who isn't God's team. This is how God will clean his house. He wants to follow a dead dogma that it has no power. That's why the church has gone to the world. No power. We may see some overturn of the money changers in the church like Jesus saw in the temple. There's no telling. The signs and wonders are done by the Holy Spirit and will uncover the hidden works of darkness just like Simon the sorcerer we just read about. We just follow the Holy Spirit and he will do the works. It's not the person, it's the office of the apostle. All right, a couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 4. Starting with verse 9. I read this to you yesterday, Danny. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with your own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. I write these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know, I would not advise anybody to seek the office of an apostle. I would not. But I would say this. If God places you there, he will give you the grace to do it. It's a hard place to walk. But his grace is sufficient, just like Paul. Look at all that Paul went through. I haven't been hardly through anything compared to Paul or anybody else that's an apostle, I don't think. But God's grace is sufficient. Right here, and this is 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know why? It's because the apostles know that they're nothing in themselves, and everything that comes out of their ministry that manifests, they know it's God. And they've walked to the place that it's so hard on the flesh, they know they're nothing. That's why they go through what they go through. They're pretty well emptied. They have to be, so their flesh won't get in the way. Okay, that's all of that.